Monday, November 7th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, tomorrow is Election Day for many people across the nation. They're saying, whew, finally it's here. I don't have to continue to hear these ads and see these ads on TV. As we were preparing for this broadcast, we had a pretty lengthy conversation concerning how elections have changed and how an event that happened this past May has really had an impact on this election, and that would be the Dobbs ruling by the United States Supreme Court.
Now, almost at every single level, at least statewide, as well as nationwide elections, are directly related to the issue of the sanctity of life. Well, now, another issue that has been embraced by the Democratic Party, which is the absolute commitment and wholesale embrace of the LGBTQAI+ sexual revolution. They now talk about persons who are pregnant as if something other than a woman could be pregnant, trying to accommodate the absurdity of the transgenderism language that is taking place today. So now it's called human reproductive freedom, which is anything but reproductive freedom. Reproductive freedom is the freedom to have children, not the freedom to kill children, either in the womb or out of the womb. Now you say, isn't that an overstatement, out of the womb? No. The reality is that today, the definition of elective abortion includes infanticide in the delivery room itself. So there is this clear polarization that every election is now taking on significant meaning. State constitutions being amended in order to embrace a pro-abortion right to the point of infanticide, and then the funding of those abortions in the state coffers by using the state resources to underwrite these abortions and the access to them. And this is happening at every single level of the elections because of the full embrace of this position in the Democratic platform and the full embrace of the platform by candidate after candidate. I actually know of no candidates within the Democratic Party that are pushing back for any kind of a pro-life position whatsoever. So that is becoming a clear line of demarcation that is taking place in this particular election. So you've got states that are moving to protect life legislatively, and then you've got states that are moving to embrace elective abortions and tax-supported apparatus to pay for these abortions within their state. And then, of course, there is the declaration by the current president doubling down of his position to codify from the executive office, if he can get a significant number of Democrats elected, that at the congressional level and the Senate level, there is a commitment to codify elective abortions and tax resources to support them, but he needs a larger Democratic control in the Congress and in the Senate to accomplish it. So there is much that is at stake in terms of the moral fiber of the nation, as well as its political policies around these moral issues. And perhaps it's been heightened now with the Dobbs decision that returns this issue of abortion back to the states where it was prior to Roe v. Wade.
Harry, poll after poll, survey after survey has found that the issues most important to American voters, it's not abortion. The polls that have abortion ranked the highest, abortion still comes in at third place. Many of the pundits are saying that abortion simply is not a winning argument for the Democrats. And Harry, last Wednesday night, perhaps that became clear when Joe Biden made a speech at Union Station in Washington, D.C. concerning the upcoming election. He didn't say, vote Democrat for the great job we have done. Instead, it was a rather bizarre speech in which he said, don't object to the election outcome.
And don't object to the delay in determining the election outcome. That was rather bizarre to me also. So here is your election eve speech by the president. And then as I listen to the speech, I'm waiting on, here is why you must elect Democrats. See what we've done for you the last 2 years. Basically, we've had control of the state. We've had control of the Congress and the legislature. We got control of the presidency. See all that we have done for you. But the condition of the nation never even entered into his speech. Those things weren't even really referenced at all. It was our democratic process and the electoral process. And to question the election results is un-American. It's extremism, which, Tom, I found interesting as we look down to probably one of the top four democratic nations, which is Brazil, and the very significant discussions they're having right now on the integrity of elections. And you know that whenever you have a nation who has a democratic process to determine who governs the nation, the integrity of elections is always a crucial issue to maintain and to promote. You don't just demand people believe in the integrity of the elections. You call them to believe in the integrity of the elections because of the obvious integrity of the elections. As a nation, every election, you've got to have a proper transfer of power according to the election results. But vigilance on electoral integrity is not a bad thing in and of itself. And that's why we need to maintain the state's oversight of the electoral process, because the people at the state level are closer to the people and are more accountable to the people than some bureaucrat up in Washington that is controlling the electoral process. So it was a very interesting speech. I'm honestly still somewhat bewildered why it was made in light of what you would expect a sitting president to do, and that is to bring forth candidates and policies, and the current state of his administration and what's been done for America over the last 2 years. So give me more authority. On the contrary, those issues were not only not highlighted, they were almost absent, and instead a lecture on how to respond to an election and how to respond to the anticipated results being delayed in this election. It was really odd to me, Tom. I don't know whether you had any thoughts on it or not.
Well, if I'm going to be blunt, it was almost a preemptive, you better not get out of line if you're disappointed with the outcome or you think there's some irregularities in the outcome.
Well, let me just say, if I'm disappointed in the outcome, that's not a reason for me to deny the election. But the fact that I need to be supportive of election results, which is what a democratic process demands, does not mean that we don't constantly keep vigilance over the electoral process to maintain its visible, transparent integrity. I think this is very important, that we have trust in our electoral process and that we manifest trustworthiness in the conduct of our electoral process. Tom, let me just finish by saying one of the things that you're seeing in our nation is a division that basically it's a 60-40 split in the nation concerning progressivism, the 40%, and constitutionalism, the 60%, the conservative side, and the 40%, the radical liberal or the progressive side of how the nation is falling. But you see how that's polarizing as they're lining up around these issues. So you're seeing this throughout our nation. Let's talk about this some tomorrow. And what's the antidote to this polarization, as well as what is the answer to this deconstruction of the morality of Western civilization and its foundational institutions? Maybe we can talk about that on Election Day itself.
We'll do that on Tuesday's edition of Today in Perspective. As we close out, let me remind you, it is easy to subscribe to this podcast on your smartphone or your tablet. Go to your podcast icon. Type in Today in Perspective with Harry Reeder. Each and every weekday will be downloaded to your device, a new edition of Today in Perspective. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.